Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, November 15th, 2019. We have a big ship schedule. We've had a big one all week, but today's kind of large, 24 ships coming and going on the river and in our anchorages. We have a small craft advisory today in our marine weather forecast in effect through this evening. That means winds 20 to 34 knots. Today, south winds 20 to 25 knots, becoming southwest 10 knots around midday. So the weather is moving around the compass rows. That means that there must be some sort of a weather system. Weather systems spin in a counterclockwise direction in the northern hemisphere. And so we have wind moving across our area like a spinning top. Wind waves from the southwest today, 3 feet high at 5 seconds apart. West swells 10 feet at 16 seconds. Rain, then showers as we go through the day. And today we're going to continue my interview with Columbia River Bar pilot Captain Robert Johnson. He's retired now, but he has a lifetime of experience in the maritime industry. And this is one of those great in-depth interviews that I love to do because, while I have learned a broad spectrum of information about various things over the years I've done this show, there's nothing like talking to a professional who spent a lifetime in a career to really dig into the details about a topic. And that's what we're doing here. So we'll hear from him in just a minute. But first, let's talk about the ships coming and going on the river today. We have 5 inbounders, 9 in our Astoria anchorages, and 10 outbounders. Just to skip to the outbounders for a minute, because I don't think we're going to have time to do the entire ship schedule. The Matanuska is probably our most unusual outbounder today. You'll probably see her past Astoria around 1 p.m. She's leaving the shipyard in Portland, but she is a ferry, an Alaska Marine Highway System ferry, and she's probably at the shipyard at Swan Island for repairs or some kind of maintenance, but she is a vessel that is used in Alaska waters to get people from one place to another in a place where there are not that many roads in some places. But let's take a look at our inbounders. We have the Timaru Star arriving from China, headed for Longview's anchorage. She's picking up pet coke. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30 a.m., arrive in Longview by about 11 a.m. The Florida is arriving from Los Angeles, headed for Portland, a petroleum tanker, passing Astoria inbound at about 9:30 a.m., arriving in Portland at about 3:30. The Yag Amar is arriving from China, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria. She's picking up wheat, as are many ships at this time of year, and she'll be there at about 12:30 p.m. The Ansac Moonbear, a ship that comes into our waters fairly often, arriving from Japan, headed for the Vancouver anchorage upriver. She's going to the Port of Portland eventually to pick up soda ash. She'll pass Astoria around 5:30 p.m. and arrive in Vancouver by 11:30. And the Ardmore Dauntless is arriving from Singapore, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's going to Klatskanai, to port westward, to pick up ethanol. So she will arrive in the Astoria anchorage to wait there for a bit at 9:30 p.m. today, approximately. Well, we're going to talk about more with Captain Johnson about IMO 2020, a set of regulations that are going to kick in January 1st that are going to have a pretty profound effect on shipping and worldwide shipping air pollution. It will cut pollution greatly. We're going to talk about the fuel that ships are going to use under this new regime.
The enforcement will be done largely by sampling the fuels on board. You're not allowed to have fuel with 3.5% sulfur. So if you do, you're by definition, you've broken the regulation. There's some other really interesting technology. The Danes have equipped a drone that will be able to just fly by the ship's stack and see how much sulfur it's putting out. That would be more ships that are in port. They'll be able to test it that way. This is all new, so there's probably more tests. I've also seen articles where satellites will be able to recognize high sulfur content in the air through some of their sensors. So it will be enforced. It'll take time, but it will be enforced. So ships now have this new mandate they must meet. There's going to be a lot of money involved, but there's basically two ways to do it. And most ships will comply by buying a more expensive low sulfur fuel oil. So in the refining process, the sulfur will be removed from the oil that is then supplied to the ships. That's going to be the most common solution. Another solution is to fit your ship with a scrubber. And what a scrubber is an appliance that's put on the ship. It's usually put in the stack somewhere. It's working with the exhaust gas. So fuel goes into the engine, the exhaust comes out the other end. That exhaust then is sprayed with a controlled alkaline water mist. And there's several chambers where this takes place. And the scrubbing cloud removes the sulfur particles from the ship's exhaust. There's two versions of a scrubber. There's the closed-loop system, where fresh water and chemicals are used to do this process, and the resulting sludge is kept on board and then removed ashore for disposal. The more common type system is an open-loop system, where seawater is used as the water, and the seawater with the sulfur entrained in it is then discharged overboard. So this creates an issue. You're taking the pollution out of the air, but you're putting it into the water. There are discharge parameters which are monitored using analysis equipment, and it's all logged so that you can prove where you did it, how much you did, and that what you pumped overboard was within regulations.
And there's some discussion about all that, of course, pumping sulfur into the ocean. We'll talk more about that next week. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.